Screwtape Letters podcast friends and faithful. Our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, is now in stores everywhere and on Amazon worldwide. We wrote this devotional because we were tired of pretending everything was fine. It wasn't. Evil was hitting our families, our peace, and our faith. We needed something that spoke to the battles we were actually living. That's why we wrote Confronting Evil in Our Time. This book arms you to confront the demonic, reject their lies, and put Jesus Christ at the center of your life. Galen and I have poured our hearts into these 300 pages for over 14 months and hundreds of hours, wrestling truth from the shadows. We need your support. Grab your copy of Confronting Evil in Our Time today and tell your friends about it. God bless you.
Confronting Evil in Our Time, the new Christian devotional that illuminates spiritual warfare, is in stores now for only $19.99.
So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We're in season two, covering the biblical Easter eggs of the Screwtape Letters. After we did season one and we unpacked each of the letters, now we're in season two and we're looking at the biblical Easter eggs that Lewis left in each of these letters, or that we saw that he had used to help him write the letters and define what he meant through these letters. Galen, how are things with you in Pennsylvania?
We're doing well. We're doing well. It's getting dark early and very cold as we are on the second half of November. I woke up this morning with snow on the ground.
Wow, already.
Yeah. For you Phoenicians, snow is a frozen precipitation that falls from the sky and remains on the ground, if you've ever seen it.
I may have to look that up on ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, it'll tell you all about it.
Yeah. So letter 31 is the last letter within this book, and it's a brilliant letter. And for those Lewis fans out there, obviously, you know that A Toast from Hell was added in, I think it was 1959 that was added in. But prior to that, 31 was the last letter, talking about the patient's death. And, you know, as we've done throughout this season of covering the Easter eggs within here, some of them are very overt. Some of them are very clear. And then there are some of them that it's more of a theme. And here we are in 31 where the patient's died. There's an angelic chorus. He's, you know, meeting the divine. He's seeing the demons for the first time that he maybe even doubted were there. He's also seeing the angels. And there's Screwtape howling that they've lost another one and also screaming about, we have to find out what he is up to, talking about God's love that they can't comprehend. So, Galen, what was the Easter egg you were seeing in this one?
Yeah, I think it's good to point out some of these Easter eggs, like you said, are very clear. They're very overt. It's almost like you can tell he got that phrase from that passage. And then other ones, you know, it's more of a theme. It's more of unpacking an emotion. And I love the scene that he paints and that he kind of explains for us when the patient enters heaven. There's this angelic reception. The angels receive him, and there's even a rejoicing that he talks about. And then at the same time, and I don't have the exact line in front of me, I don't have my book open, but he talks, Screwtape talks about how, like, that he got away, like one slipped through our fingers, and there's like an agony that just echoes all through hell. And that's a powerful thought, I think. And I think Lewis was at least had in mind the passage from Luke 15, where Jesus is telling the parable of the lost son, the son who left, the prodigal son, and then he came back, and there's rejoicing by the Father. And then Jesus says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. When one sinner comes to Jesus and gets saved, There's an angelic rejoicing in heaven. And then he says again, tells a story of a coin that was lost and the woman that looked for the coin, and she rejoiced when she found it. And Jesus tells the story to make the point, there's more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner turns to the Lord than this woman rejoiced. There's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing among the angels. And in the Screwtape letters, we're talking about this in the pre-show, everything's inverted. Everything that's good is bad. Everything, you know, God is the enemy and our father below is Satan and all this stuff. Screwtape makes a good point, and Lewis makes a good point to talk about the agony of letting that one go and how that echoes all through hell. And I just feel like that mirrors what we see in Jesus's description in Luke 15 of the rejoicing when one makes it to heaven, there's great rejoicing. And when one slips through the fingers of the demonic, there's anguish that echoes all through all of the circles of hell.
Yep. And at the point of death, and as we're seeing with the patient, he actually fulfills what he's been hoping through his Christian walk. And within his faith, which is he meets Christ, he meets right. the angelic host, and he meets the Trinity. So that mm-hmm. that's the point where salvation for him
is complete. Yeah.
Yeah. Is complete yeah. and realized within this book. And
there's also something to be seen of like all those things he sort of knew and felt and was aware of and had faith in, he can see more fully all in that instant. It is a beautiful chapter. I mean, Lewis just does a great job, ends the letters on a powerful and poetic note to paint that picture of what that moment is like, but can see things that previously he couldn't fully see, you know?
You know, and Galen, when I was reading our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, chapter 31, I love, we've titled letter 31, When Heaven Rejoices. And I read it, and I want to read it on a podcast, the first paragraph out of that, which is, in the final chapter of our journey through spiritual warfare, we arrive at the moment where life and faith culminate, death itself. Not as an ending, but as a doorway, not as defeat, but as liberation. This is the moment when everything the enemy meant for evil, God redeems for good. And I think that sums up beautifully this point of death, where when you're saved, that all of that work that the enemy is trying to do, everything that they're trying to do in separating us from God, for them becomes for nothing. And for our salvation becomes for everything. And while I was looking at this episode as well, I first thing that came to me was Psalm 23. Because it's one of those where, and obviously David's lamenting and fearing for his life at this point in time. But I think there's a lot of it. Obviously in 23:5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you'll anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And in his walk through there, I think he's saying that, like, he knows that God has him and that God's going to take care of him, even though he's walking through that fear.
Right. No, again, a lot of those motifs, a lot of those themes, even in Psalm 23, there's the presence of his enemy, you know, the weightiness of the valley of the shadow of death. But for those in Christ, it all culminates to glory rather than anguish, you know. And thanks for reading that paragraph in the book. I appreciate that, hearing that, putting it in context. But I think it's also important to note, like, it is, death is ultimately, in the end, it's victory. You know, we I don't remember if actually it made it in the book, but we quoted John MacArthur famously said, "All death can do is deliver the believer to Jesus," essentially. And that is true, and that is the Christian hope that we have. But we don't whitewash it and diminish the pain of death. Because you told a powerful story in your life, and I was able to share something my wife and family has been going through about the reality of the sting of death, even for the believer, even when, you know, saved people die, there's still a sadness to it. I think it's a powerful thing to recognize.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that sadness, even for the believer, comes because you're going to miss them in this life. And I think God's purpose for us is special in this life. I don't think it's meant to be just passed by as if it wasn't important or God wouldn't have made it important. So there is an importance to it. And I think within our walk of faith and how we influence other people and how we spread the gospel and how we bring people to Christ and the effect you see it has on other people makes that life really, really valuable, because God doesn't make any mistakes, and therefore him bringing us into this life is no mistake. It was there for a purpose, and he loves us, and the demonic through the Screwtape Letters just can't understand that at all. For them, that's so anathema to them that they just are perplexed.
Yeah, there is that kind of, I don't know, deep misunderstanding of how the world really works from the demonic lens. You see it all throughout the Screwtape Letters. There's, you know, obviously they're confused. They call good evil and evil good.
And I wonder for them, Galen, because we talked about the picture of Dorian Gray where Faust makes a deal with the devil to live forever. And he gets to a point where he realizes his life's pointless unless he can die. And he can't die because he's made this deal. And I wonder if the same goes for the demonic, that their own torture is because they've chosen a side that for them it is eternal hell. And even though that's what they know, it still torments them.
Oh, I think that's 100% true. I think that's 100% true. I know, I guess going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but I think one of the unique things about the human life is that we have an opportunity, like we still get to decide what direction we're going to go. We still get to decide who we're going to follow. But it says in scripture that it's appointed to man once to die and then the judgment, which kind of means like there's a beauty in life. There's an inherent beauty in life that we get to decide how we're going to lead our life, where our faith and allegiance is going to be. But once this life is over, we're kind of sealed in that destiny forever. And that is actually exactly what the demonic does. There's an old theological term called unconfirmed creature holiness, which basically said the angels also had a period in time where they were kind of in a period of deciding, and then they determined their fate. A third of the angels were cast out of heaven. We believe those are the demons. And now they're kind of confirmed. Now they're kind of, their fate is set. Their destiny is determined and they're stuck with it. And every day is the same to them. It's continual anguish. It's continual not knowing or understanding God's love. And it's a sad thing, but the patient was set free from all that and could in one instance, from the moment that bomb blew that kid's body up and he entered eternity and could see the Lord. And even for a time, presumably, we don't know if this is doctrinally true, but could even see the demon that was plaguing him. He could see it all clearly in that moment as he entered eternity.
Yeah. And even if it's not doctrinally true, it's a beautiful thought,
right?
That you finally get to realize that your sin nature was also being influenced by demons. And
oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I think it's got to be true to some extent. Jesus can correct the fine-tuned errors in our theology when we get to heaven, and we'll know. But I think, yeah, to say that in that moment, as that man is released from the seen realm to exist wholly in the spiritual realm, to say that he understood the demons that were plaguing him and tempting him, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah. So for all our listeners out there who have experienced someone dying in their life recently, like, you know, this is a moment to... I call it a testing point of faith. And it's something that you should lean heavily into prayer with, because if they're believers, they've gone to be with Christ. And as sad as it is, that's also a glorious moment. And as we get to the last chapter of this in season two of doing the Easter egg in this, Galen, it's been 3 years we've been banging away at this. And time flies by. Remember, the start, as in our book, talks about January. Well, actually, New Year's Eve.
Since the idea was inspired, yeah. Yeah. You know,
and that long, and here we are, and we've got an amazing book out. It's on Amazon, and it's just hit number one in one of the spiritual categories, which is exciting. There's a bunch of press releases out there talking about the book and everything that's going on, and it's pretty exciting all in all. And I just want to gratitude and thanks to everyone who's listened, everyone who's built this. And we look at our listener map and we've got listeners on every continent. It's nearly 3,000 cities around the world that listen to what we do. And it's so touching, and it's, I'm just so grateful for it.
Yeah. It's been a fun journey. Ian, I want to thank you also for coming up with the idea and inviting me in to be part of the journey. It's been a blast, and it's a phenomenal work from the C.S. Lewis. And it's fun to sort of keep it alive in the world today and help people understand the really profound spiritual truths that are behind it. Hopefully in a way that builds people up, encourages their faith, and strengthens their walk with Jesus. That's really what this podcast and endeavor is all about. So it's been a fun season unpacking some Easter eggs and ending it again on a pretty powerful chapter.
Yeah. And for our listeners, happy Thanksgiving in America as we lead up to Thanksgiving, end of the year for everyone. Have a blessed year. Merry Christmas in advance. And we'll have some more shows between now and Christmas. We're also going to be doing a show on the 29th for C.S. Lewis Reading Day to celebrate his birthday as well. And then just a few shows up to Christmas, and then launch next year into season 3 as well. So until next time, thank you everyone for listening to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, season 2, The Biblical Easter Eggs. And we'll see you again next time.